Thank you so much, Sizwe. I also just want to say from our side, well, my name is Craig, and just welcome to you all this morning. It's great to have you in person and those online, and we love that our families are with us this morning. I came to faith at a camp, and we don't take youth camps and teenage camps lightly because of how much God does there. And I am grateful to the Lord because of what He did in my life at a camp. And so from my side, thank you so much for your support in enabling our teenagers to raise the money that they need so that we can get as many of our teenagers back to that camp as possible. And we're just excited about what the Lord is doing there. And so just a quick announcement from my side. In about 30 seconds, you need to give my wife a big round of applause. Today, she has been married to me for 12 years. She's sitting up in the gallery. She's not feeling so well today. Massive achievement for her. Not been easy, but just so grateful to the Lord that we get to be a family and that we just have so much to celebrate and so much life and so many good things that the Lord is doing that we get to celebrate. It's just so, so amazing. And so we're in a series at the moment called Unstoppable. And just something that we've been celebrating and just seeing this grand tapestry of God's unstoppable presence woven through all of history and all of Scripture. And so for those of you guys who may be in kids ministry or you're not always with us in the service, this is what we've been doing. We're in about part 17 or something like that, as we've just been celebrating and digging deeper and deeper and deeper into understanding all the benefits of God's unstoppable, empowering presence in my life. And so we're going to be looking at another one of those incredible benefits of doing life in the kingdom with the empowering presence of God, and that is being empowered for His mission. And now this is where a lot of you guys go, brilliant, Craig, I love everything, but again, I'm out with this. You know, I love church, I love worship, I love coming to church events. I love everything about the church and the Bible, but no. I'm not one of those kind of people who talk about what I believe. That's maybe private, so I don't want to offend people. Those are for like super evangelists and guys like yourself. You're not afraid to talk to people about Jesus. Well, what we're going to see, as what we've been doing and tracking through Scripture, we're going to see how much God enables us to this wonderful task. And then FYI, you already have been publicly witnessing today, right? You are singing with such gusto and joy at what Jesus has done in our lives. And today it's public because we're not alone. And that's been heard outside and people have been looking in. And so if you're going, well, I've never witnessed before in my life, actually you have been doing it today with such joy. And so well done for getting the sermon started today. So we're going to go through some scripture today. We're going to be tracking again from the beginning of the Bible all the way through to the end. And it's going to be quite exciting for us to do that. And the first place that we're going to, in terms of getting an understanding of mission, is in Genesis chapter 12. This passage is kind of one of like those big rock passages, like a foundation passage that kind of helps us understand the whole Bible. You want to kind of get a big snapshot of what God's doing from beginning to end. This passage is one of them. And Genesis 12, 1 to 3, and we're going to read it together. Then the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And this is a promise that he then makes to Abram. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God reveals himself to Abram. He says, come follow me. And so Abraham leaves everything he knows. And in faith, he obeys God. And as a result of his faith, God gives him this promise. And there's kind of three levels to this promise. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be great. Your whole family, you're going to become a nation. And then all the peoples on the earth are going to be blessed through you. Here's this promise. Now, if you guys know anything about the Old Testament, how much of this came true? All of it. Right? So he ends up, he's old, he has a child, and a few years after that, there is a nation, right? The nation of Israel. And God fulfills his promise through Abraham, and he says to him, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you great, and God sets up the nation of Israel so that all the world will be blessed. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed. God, we see how God is fulfilling this promise. And then the final one, all the peoples on the earth are going to be blessed through you. As I said, we're going to go from the beginning. And now here's another big rock passage, Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation chapter 7. I love this one because, again, it's tied into Genesis chapter 12. And so here's what it says in Revelation 7. After this, so this is the disciple John, and he's having an experience with the Lord where he kind of gives him a bit of a picture of what's going on in heaven. And it's kind of like into the throne room. And this is what he sees and he experiences. He says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. They were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. What a wonderful passage that we get to see the final fulfillment of Genesis chapter 12. God made a promise. He made a covenant with Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to become a great nation. You will be blessed. Your descendants will be blessed. And then all the world will be blessed through you. And we know ultimately that that leads to the work of Jesus as he comes through that line. And we know and we celebrate today because we're worshiping all that he did. And we are recipients of the incredible work of Jesus and the promise that he made to Abraham. But the future fulfillment of that, we see that will be complete. Because what does John see when he gets a picture of the throne room? People from where? Every single nation, every single tribe, every language are there worshiping and giving praise to the salvation that came through Jesus. They're worshiping the Lamb. That's another description of Jesus. And I just love this because the promise God made, it's fulfilled in its complete fullness. When he says all peoples on the earth are going to be blessed through you, and we will get a snapshot of eternity, and we see the throne room, it is 100% fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. And we're part of that story. It hasn't happened yet, but we're here. And there's nations and people groups and languages represented here and in all the churches that are gathered around the world worshiping Jesus and coming around his word today. It is just amazing. And we see Genesis and we see Revelation. In Revelation, they're worshiping Jesus. And in Genesis, it's leading up to the work of Jesus. So then the next big rock passage that we're going to look at and are helping us understand what's going on here and how Jesus and how the Spirit empowers us for mission is Acts 1 verse 8. Now, really important passage, this in this verse, because Jesus is literally about to ascend to heaven. He's about to leave earth and go to the Father. And so he's led up to the cross. He's died on the cross. He's risen in victory. And it's in that kind of final thing where he's with his disciples. And this is literally in his physical presence, the last thing he says to the disciples. And he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What is Genesis 12? What was the final promise? All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. What do we see in Revelation 7 when there's a shot of the throne room? Every tribe, every people, every language, every nation, it's there. Now, Jesus is prepping them because a few passages after this one in Acts, the Holy Spirit comes. But it's there, and one of the primary benefits of the Spirit is to empower us to what? Fulfill the promise of God to Abraham that all the peoples on the earth are going to be blessed. And we see that fulfillment in Genesis or in Revelation 7. And again, he's giving them that roadmap, right? You will be my witnesses. We're in Jerusalem. That's the town that they were all in. Judea, that's the bigger province. Samaria, that's a whole nother people group that was hostile towards them at that time. They had some issues with the Samaritans. There's a whole nother people group, whole nother issues. And then the ends of the earth. It's just incredible how you've got Genesis, Acts, and Revelation all weaving together with God's plan to bless the world. And I just love the synergy and how it all kind of works together that we will be his witnesses. Again, I love the word witness because when we talk about that other big Christian word that kind of puts dread in some of our hearts is evangelism. You know, we're going to go plan to go out and tell people about Jesus. But I love this the word witness because when he's speaking to Jesus, who's speaking to here in Acts 1:8, they were the eyewitnesses to his physical resurrection from the dead. And there was an empty tomb that they went and saw, and their risen Savior, Jesus. And they got to witness that historical event. And so what I love so much about our faith is it's not based on some philosophical ideas. People witnessed an empty tomb. My faith in Jesus is rested and rooted in a historical, physical event where the creator of this universe left heaven, born a baby in a manger, lived the perfect life, died in my place for my sin, and rose in victory over sin, shame, and death. And there is an empty tomb that people witnessed and saw. And even some of them put their hand in his side where the spear wound went. We are witnesses to an event. And our faith is rooted in something physical and real. That's why I like the word witness. Because I'm on stage today because I've come to faith in Jesus. I'm speaking about something that has also affected my life in a personal way. I have come to understand the benefits and the reality of that and have trusted Jesus with my life and seen his hand in my life. We could be here all afternoon if I shared the stories. And how many of you has that been a reality for you too? You've experienced something. You don't believe in a fairy tale. This is real. We have been experiencing the physical power of Jesus in our lives as a congregation with healings and people having experienced such incredible breakthrough and the power of God in their lives. Why? Because it's real. And that's why I like the word witness. Because what are we witnesses to? The physical resurrection of Jesus. And the impact that that has for me, for you, for everyone. And one of the benefits is his empowering presence in my life empowers me to do that. And I'm not alone in it. So, okay. As a base for us this morning, let's go and look at some ways that happened with God's people in the New Testament. And there's a couple of passages that I'm going to look at which will help us see how we are empowered to be witnesses and some steps we can take in that. So, first one, Acts chapter 8, from verse 26. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip." Now, isn't that interesting? Just right there, right? We're Acts 8. This is post the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension. Now, if you've been tracking with us in the series, how often has this phrase, the angel of the Lord, come up? Right? That's rooted all the way back in Exodus and in Genesis. This idea of the physical presence of God with his people is the angel of the Lord, interspersed with the Spirit and with Jesus. And so here we see it again, is this theme all the way through. So now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, And again, this is just amazing because we've been speaking about so much about the Spirit and all that the Spirit does. So here you've got this guy, Philip. The angel of the Lord comes to him and all it says is, go down onto the south road, the desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza. How much information is in that statement? Not much. So again, this is just a little side nugget here. Often when we're trying to hear from the Lord, we expect absolute clarity. We like detailed plans. And many of you, if you're going to go on a trip from one place to another place, your itinerary is well worked out. Everything is clear, almost like over the top, well planned out. Here, all he gets from the Lord is he hears the Lord saying to him, go down that road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And verse 27, so he started out. And how's that for obedience to how the Spirit is leading? He's acting in faith. The Lord has responded and he's going. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit, and again, this is what I love. So here you've got the angel of the Lord, and now it's the Spirit. Again, this interchangeable thing that we see right the way through as he's leading and speaking to his people. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Love this. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. How's that for obedience to what the Spirit is leading him with very little information? So he ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Love how he engages this person. We'll point out here, Philip is an Israelite. He is a Jew and here is an Ethiopian. And so what was the promise in Genesis 12? I'm going to harp on this. The nations, all the peoples on the earth are going to be blessed by you. What do we see in Revelation? From every tribe, nation, language. What does Acts 1:8 say? You'll be my witnesses. We're in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And what we see here is the gospel starting to go from one people group, one language, to another nation. Amazing. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come down and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, please tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is water. What can stand in my way from being baptized? So, amazing things that are happening in this passage, and there are a number of things that we notice here as a follower of Jesus, someone who is a witness to all the events that happened around Jesus. He's listening to what the Spirit is saying. Okay? Big here, that thing that we notice. Let me just say this. You will never be acting in disobedience to the Lord if you are going to share and witness to the events of Jesus. So you'll never be in disobedience if you act in a way like that, because this is something that we are encouraged and told to do. But here, he goes, he acts in obedience, he's listening to the Spirit, and he responds. It's great that he is doing that. The next thing is he goes cross-culture. And so what we notice and what we are going to need to wrap our heads around is for us to be a part of what God is doing, we're going to need to be okay to talk with people who are not like us, who are a different language to us, who are a different ethnicity to us, because for us to reach the ends of the earth, for the gospel to reach the ends of the earth, for Revelation 7 to become true, where there's every tribe, nation, language, people group, the gospel's got to go from us to someone else. And so we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. We're going to have to engage with and be okay with spending time with people who are not like us, because we're going to be doing it for all eternity. The gospel goes to an Ethiopian. And I'll just share this. In January this year, I was at a missions conference in Kenya, and I actually stayed with six Ethiopian pastors. And I got to spend about 7 days with them. We were in a working group together. And I could not wrap my head around what God was doing in that country. And I kept thinking about this passage. Because as far as we know in Scripture, this is the first time the gospel went to an Ethiopian. And there are millions of believers in that country today. Because someone heard from the Lord, acted in obedience, went cross-culture, and was okay to have a conversation with someone who was not like him. How often do we presume something about people who are not like us? We do it all the time, right? We have these kind of innate prejudices against presuming, well, I can't talk to that person, or are they going to understand me? Are they going to do this? Well, I can't talk to them. And how significant was this particular individual? Right, he was responsible for all the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia, was on this road reading Scripture. And so I love how there's no presumption here. He just goes. And then what else do we notice? Right, he engages him with truth. So as he's talking to this guy, it's an Old Testament passage, and we see he preaches the good news of Jesus to him. What a cool passage that he was reading, all about the prophetic death of Jesus. But Philip is able to go, well, let me tell you about what has actually happened with Jesus. And so he engages him with truth. I'll speak a little bit more about that towards the end, but a really big deal. He engages him, he explains the Scriptures, but then he stays with him on the journey. And he's with them with the next steps that he takes in terms of getting baptized. And he doesn't just tell him about Jesus and off he goes. He stays with them and he's helping him with the next step. So there we go. That's some of the things that we notice. He hears from the Lord. He's earnest in obeying. He goes cross-culture. He engages with truth. And he stays with him in helping him in the next steps. And you can see how the Spirit is involved there and has empowered the gospel going to a whole other people group. And again, historically, we see the evidence and the joy of what's actually happening in the country of Ethiopia. Next passage, Acts chapter 4, says this. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servants whom you anointed. Quick context, persecution came to the church after the resurrection of Jesus. People coming to faith, and there's a whole lot of buzz in the city, and people try to squash it, so they came with some hostility to the church. Some of the leaders in this particular one, John and Peter, some of the early church leaders and his disciples, they're arrested and in prison, and the church is now needing to figure out, what do we do with all of this that's happening? And they're praying. And so they're acknowledging and praying through the fact that they're being arrested and thrown into jail for believing in Jesus. So indeed, this is them praying. Indeed, Herod, Pontius Pilate met together with your Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will have decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And just an amazing thing happening with the church. Right, first time there's hostility towards them. Leaders are being thrown into jail for believing and being witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. What do we notice with the church here? Right? We see it in their praying. They go, you know, we consider their threats. They're not unaware of what's going on. Do they pray, take it away? No. Do they pray, make it easier for us? No. It's incredible because, again, what is Acts 1 verse 8? All right, you will receive power to be my witnesses. And so they pray, increase our boldness. Right? It's just wonderful how they're praying. We consider their threats. Enable us to speak with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. They're not backing down from the fight. They're not hiding away. How can you hide away from truth? What they witnessed and what they experienced, they can't, well, we've got to keep quiet now, guys. They're right. We're causing a fuss. This undeniable eternal truth of the creator of the universe who revealed himself in Jesus, who died in our place for our sins and rose again in victory, which we saw and experienced. No, we've got to stop telling people about this. They can't know about it. We'll go with what they're doing. No. It's like we consider their threats. We understand what's at stake, so help us just be bolder. And with our boldness, Holy Spirit, give us the power we need where they are being healed and they are seeing the evidence of your resurrection. Love that behavior from the church. They don't back down. And so after they prayed, the meeting was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word boldly. People came to faith, they heard it. Again, just so, so important for us to be aware of what they were doing. They prayed. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for an increase in God doing healing and other signs and miracles. What have we been experiencing lately as a church? People are being healed. People are experiencing the power of God in their lives. That enables our witness. It gives us something to show people this happened. There is something more going on in this world. Then 1 Peter 2 verse 12. Again, as we consider being witnesses, it says this, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Again, hostility is in the church. Peter is writing to believers and he's encouraging churches who are going through a hard time. It's not easy for them. And his encouragement to him is live such good lives among them that it points them towards God, that they end up worshiping him. It's never about backing down. It's never about hiding what we believe. It's always about being present in people's lives and living in such a way that it points them to God and they understand what happened. Now, I want to point out something here because this verse has led to people having this saying, and I think you know the saying. You might have even used it yourself. It's this. I preach the gospel with my life, and when absolutely necessary, I use words. And that's something that's been around churches and believers for a long time, and it's a lovely Instagrammable kind of phrase, and there is some merit in it because it's rooted in things like this, you know. Your life matters. How you live matters. But I think it's become quite a cop-out from engaging people on truth. Because kindness alone doesn't lead people to the kingdom. Being a nice person doesn't, in and of itself, lead people to the kingdom. There has to be truth, and people need to hear the truth and actually connect your life to the person of Jesus. And if that's not coming with words as well, then we're wasting our time. Because you're going to be kind all your life and a really nice person, And the people that God has placed in your life are still not going to know the truth and get a shock at the end of their lives. But I love this because it calls us to this life of the kingdom. Because we live as witnesses to truth. Something happened, it's changed my life. And so does my life, how Jesus has transformed me, how Jesus has impacted me, does that come out around people that I engage every single day? And so the encouragement for the believers is that our lives do matter because we are part of the kingdom. And so as citizens of the kingdom, worshiping the King, do by our very lives and the hope that we have in Jesus, and as we understand the full implications of the truth of Jesus and that His resurrection, His ascension, and His return, how that impacts my hope and my joy, do people see that and go, what is wrong with you? I mean, people, and you know this, right? We live in South Africa. Hopelessness is at an all-time high. How many people this week alone have you spoken to that have had such a hopelessness in their conversation, a negative outlook on what's going to happen in their lives? I'm sure you've had many. I've had many. People just don't know what to do with their lives anymore. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. So how does my life end? Right? If I die before the return of Jesus, I close my eyes in this world and open them up in glory. And if not, Jesus is coming while I'm still alive. But either way, the world doesn't end with anything other than the return of Jesus. That's the truth. That's my truth. Because I've witnessed and experienced the power of the resurrected Jesus. And so because of that, I can hold to every other promise, and I know He's coming back. So my life is lived with the hope of Jesus. And so even in the physical struggles that we have and how hard it is, and yeah, we have some hard days, but, and there's a but because of the hope of Jesus. People don't have that, and I got to engage people around that. There's such a difference to living life in the kingdom because the reality of the kingdom is so much, there's such amazing truths that we get to hold to and encourage people with. And I love that we get called to be loving, genuinely loving, forgiving, hopeful people and a blessing to everyone around us, that we get to live such good lives amongst them. Because maybe you do struggle with words. Maybe, you know, there's, it's not easy, and I get it, right? It's not easy to go, sure, I have to witness to the resurrection, but it's truth that we get to do. And again, we talk, right? And I don't want to beat anyone up about this because I'm so guilty of this. Right, I can talk about politics for hours. I love to talk politics. If you've had any conversations with me, you know how much I love to talk rugby. Right, I love to analyze rugby. I'll talk about rugby for days. There's things that we are passionate about that we easily engage conversation with. It's not rugby, it's soccer. If it's not politics, it's pop culture. If it's not that, it's your industry that you're in. Maybe you love to talk global financial trends, you know. There's things that you just slip into conversation that you will talk about for a long time because you enjoy that conversation. And in many ways, we are witnesses to those things that we love. And the encouragement for us is to bring that in to our lives, this hope of Jesus, and witness what we have seen and experienced ourselves. And again, we don't get to do it alone. We have the unstoppable presence of God that's in us, empowering us for this mission. We don't have to do it alone. And again, let's go through some of these passages. We've seen all that God enabled with Philip. We've seen how he obeyed and how God set that up. And in his obedience, the gospel went to Ethiopia. It's a simple step of obedience. The gospel went there. Amazing. We've seen the evidence of that. And we saw how the church prayed. People prayed for boldness. God answered that prayer, and they spoke the word of God boldly. People came to faith. We see the encouragement of just living the kingdom life in its integrity. It's not calling us to perfection. It's just calling us to live out the reality of Jesus and what he's done in our lives, and live with the hope that he's given us, to live with the joy that he's given us. And that impact leads people to Jesus when we do what Philip did and we connect it to the truth about Jesus. I have joy because I know where I'm going and I know what Jesus has done for me. I have joy because it comes with hope. And so if we just witness what he's done, it's going to have an impact on people's lives. And so I know this idea is scary because, oh, you know, I just want to head down at work. I don't want to be noticed. I don't want to be that person. And because, again, and this is why I like the 1 Peter 12, 2:12 passage, is Christian weirdos have done huge damage in offices. Christian weirdos have done a lot of damage on TV and those kinds of things. And I'm not asking you tomorrow morning to jump on your desk and start preaching the gospel and get yourself fired from your workplace. Okay, that would be a wrong application of this. What would be a right application of this is on your way to work, pray and say, Holy Spirit, I need more boldness in my life. Because there are people that I'm going to be encountering today who don't know you, who have no hope, and who have never experienced the truth of what you did. And I am a person who has experienced it. My eternity is secure. My joy is complete in what you do, and I have eternal hope. Give me boldness to be a witness to what you did to those around me this week. Holy Spirit, help me hear from you so that I can speak and speak truth into their situations. That would maybe be a better application of this. Because how many of us here can pray this week in the car on tour? How many of us can do that? Right, I can do that. My workplace needs a lot of saving. That was a joke. If you don't know, actually I'm in staff here at church. Right, how many people can I encourage with hope this week? Are there any high schoolers in the room here? I know a lot of the teenagers are outside. Here's something very interesting about high school. I'll say this, you're the most important people in this room this morning. Because not ever in your life are you going to be around as many people that you can affect for the gospel as you are during the 5 years of high school. How many people are in your high school? Easily, most high schools average about 1,000, 1,200 people. For 5 years, every day, around 1,200 people. Most of us don't work in companies, even 10% of that size. So hard to find crowds where we can influence and people to influence. So high schoolers, this is something that you guys need to be praying every single day because of how many people you are around. Even if they're primary school kids, you've got to, even a few more years if you're in grade 6, grade 7, that you can influence people for the gospel. It's probably going to be your most productive time for the gospel than any other time in your life. But we can pray. We can listen and try to be discerning what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I can be a really good guy to all those around me. I can show up in their lives. You know, not once have I ever been told off for showing up in a person's life when they're going through a rough time. When I heard of someone in my community that went through a bit of a tragedy, to phone them or to arrive at their house and just to be present there, not once have they ever said, go away, this isn't nice. The response has always been, thank you for showing up. I can maybe think of one or two times in my life where I've offered to pray for someone, even when they're not a believer, that they've said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. It's literally been 100% of the time, actually, could you please pray for me? People need hope. And again, so this idea, well, Craig, I can't preach. I'm not asking you to preach. What are we encouraged to be a part of? It's the unstoppable move of God that's going to see people from every single nation, language, tribe, people group worshiping and giving glory to the Lamb for their salvation. That's what we're a part of. That's what God is doing. And because we've seen the fulfillment of it, he's not going to stop just because we're disobedient. The invitation is the Holy Spirit empowers us for this. And what joy is there going to be that we're going to be a part of someone's story? That they're there because of our boldness. That they are there because we chose to engage them on truth. That we chose to witness what Jesus did in our lives so that they could be a part of the blessing of Jesus. That I didn't ignore the work of the Holy Spirit that enables me to do this. Because there are people in our suburbs that have never heard the name of Jesus. It's crazy. I've shared this with you guys many times before, and I'll share it again. In the city of Johannesburg, just in our CBD alone, the 15 kind of square radius from the dead center of town of Joburg, 350 languages are spoken. Johannesburg is the single most important city for the gospel on the globe. And that's from a purely stats point of view, not just because I'm biased to the city. It's a hard city to live in. Many people want to leave. But from a gospel point of view, most important city in the world. More nations represented here than in any other country in the world, which we get to witness. Many of you work in the CBD. Many of you have offices there. You have access to more nations than nearly any other group of people in the world. What an opportunity. Right, I think the voice rolls are ready and guys are getting hungry. I'm going to pray. Now, the challenge in this one is very simple. You will receive power to be witnesses. The church prayed for boldness and to be filled with the Spirit to speak his word boldly. And I'm going to do that for us in obedience to this. And if that is something you want to respond to, the response is simple. You just stand as I pray and open up your hands in an act of obedience and receiving and saying, I want this. Whatever that looks like, Jesus, I'm terrified, but I want to receive the empowering of your Holy Spirit specifically in this to be a witness to you in the places that God has placed me. My family, maybe it's your home because you're the only believer in your home. Maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's school, maybe it's your friends or where you engage other people. I don't know what it is for you, but let's respond in faith to that. So you just stand in obedience and ask God for that as I pray. God, I'm so thankful that somebody witnessed your truth to me. Because there was a time in my life where I did not know about you, but someone in boldness spoke to me and told me about your death and resurrection and encouraged me to believe. And Jesus, as a result, I'm part of your kingdom and you're using me. And I'm so grateful and I want to give you the glory for that. And that's true for so many people here, that somebody witnessed to them. And Jesus, I'm so thankful for your empowering Spirit that gives us and empowers us to be your witness. And so Jesus, for every single person that stood, I pray the words that you said, Holy Spirit, fill them with your power to speak your words boldly. Fill them with your presence, Jesus. Give them the boldness that they need to witness publicly to what you did in the lives of the people around them. What's represented here is homes. What's represented here is schools, corporate places. Jesus, please would you answer this step of faith by people. That you would use them and that they would experience your boldness and your empowering. So that more nations and more people are going to be represented in what we saw in Revelation because of the step of faith that people are making here. I'm so thankful that we get to do this. I'm so thankful that we get to ask. And so thank you, Jesus, for your empowering presence and for your boldness that's going to come through this. In your holy name, amen. Guys, I'm so encouraged by this. Just a commitment from my side. If you are feeling the Lord is leading you. If you have my number, WhatsApp me to say, Craig, I'm about to share with someone. Please pray with me. I'll do that. I'll stop what I'm doing and I'll pray for you in the background if you're going to actually have a conversation with someone. And don't stop praying this. Don't stop praying for boldness.